Judges 6, verse 36 says, "And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry on all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once." It's actually the third time he spoke. "Let me prove, I pray thee, by this once," second time, "with the fleece, that it will now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, for it was a dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. You can be seated. Here we are again, our third message here in the life, the ministry of Gideon. We saw this morning, we saw Gideon take a stand for the Lord. We saw Gideon trust to God and follow through with what God had told him to do. He did what God told him to do. He tore down the altar. He cut down the grove and burned the grove. His life was threatened because of it. His father's life was changed because of it. His family was changed. The Lord did a lot of things through Gideon. His life was threatened. God let him survive. And now here in this verse we just read, right after the passage this morning, we see Gideon is struggling again. In verse 36, "And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." "I know you just helped me, Lord. I know you just used me to tear down an altar. I know, if for all intents and purposes, I should be dead right now. I know you've kept me alive and you softened my father's heart. But, Lord, I don't know if you really know what you're doing or not. I know you've done all these things, but, Lord, I don't know." This passage has been used many times before. This passage has been taken. It's been used, abused, and misused and thrown around the church for a long time. We have that phrase. Well, use that phrase. I'm just going to put out a fleece and putting out a fleece, see what the Lord wants. I don't know what the Lord wants me to do here, so I'm just going to put out a fleece and see what God wants me to do. Let him approve God. It's an interesting passage here, one that could be very easily taken and misunderstood, and it has been many times. Should we be putting out fleeces? Is this biblical? Should we do that? Is this the right thing to do? If I don't know what the Lord wants, should I be doing this? How do I get the answers I need? Let's look at this passage and see what we can learn from. Study some chapter 7 as well. First, we need to back up a little bit here. We saw this morning Gideon's stand. Then we saw the enemy heard about it. Look at that verse from chapter 6, verse 33. "Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites that are from the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel." The enemy has heard about Gideon. The Midianites and the Amalekites from the east are all gathered together. In chapter 7, it says their camels were without number as a sand by the sea for multitude. Just tons of an enemy, tons of the enemy. The enemy has gathered together against Gideon and the people of Israel. They are showing their force. It says in verse 34, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him." God didn't leave Gideon alone. The enemy has come. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Gideon. He began to blow the trumpet. Gideon did. Gather his own troops. Verse 35, "And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him." Other tribes and nation of Israel. He starts sending out these messengers to gather troops together, get the army together, get the militia together, come fight against his enemy that are without number. God has met with Gideon. God has told Gideon what to do. Gideon has taken a stand in his own home place of the things he needs to get rid of. And he got the victory from that. God gave him the victory. Now he's gathering his troops for battle. They all gather together in the verse 36. Gideon, we see him doubting yet again. He is gung-ho. He has gathered his army. He's getting to work. He starts to look around and see his small 32,000 man army is going to get smaller and smaller in chapter 7. And he starts to look at his own abilities. And he says, "Lord, I know what you said, but are you sure you know what you're saying? Lord, I know what you have commanded, but are you sure about this thing? Are you sure you know what you're talking about, God? Lord, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand." Verse 14, "Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" Verse 16, chapter 6, verse 16, "Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." God made it very clear, very plain what he's going to do. The Lord looked upon him. He said, "Go." The Lord looked and said to him, "Surely I'll be with thee." And then Gideon, verse 36, "If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." "Lord, I know what you said, but have you seen this Midianite army? Have you seen how big they are? Are you sure? God, I know what you said, but I want you to prove to me that you said what I know you already said." Some of us would say, maybe I've said the same thing. "Lord, I know what the Bible says. I know what you say. But can you prove it to me personally? Does that really apply to me in my life? Well, I know what you said, but can you prove it to me?" Some of you might say, "Well, man, I wish an angel of God would just show up and just prove to me what God wants from me. I wish an angel would show up and talk to me like an angel showed up and talked to Gideon. I wish God would just plainly tell me what he wants me to do like he told Gideon. If you'll not believe and follow what the word of God says, you'll not believe and follow what an angel came and told you either. You say, that's a strong thing to say. So happened to Gideon. How can you say that? That's what the Bible says. We are going to see the proof of that in this passage. You can even find the New Testament. Luke 16:27. Go ahead and turn there. Luke 16:27. Hold your place in Judges. Luke 16:27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. He said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Back in Judges again. Abraham said, if they won't hear Moses and they won't hear the prophets, what is that? That's the word of God. That's the Bible they have at that time. They have Moses and the prophets. That's the Old Testament. If they won't believe that, they won't believe the man that rose from the dead that came to tell them. Gideon talked face to face with the angel of the Lord. He says, thus saith the Lord. This is what's going to happen. What more proof do you need than the angel of the Lord telling you, thus saith the Lord. This is what more do you need than the Lord telling you, this is what I want you to do. It still wasn't enough for Gideon. If you won't believe what the word of God says, nothing else is going to prove it to you either. Let me prove it to you here in the life of Gideon. So Gideon says, Lord, I need more proof that you know what you're talking about. I need more proof that you're God. So before I go and do more of what you said, you do what I say first. It's a scary thing to say. Pretty arrogant, really. But just a lack of faith, though, it is for Gideon. But we see here, we see his first test. Verse 37. Behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor. If the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. He says, okay, Lord, I know what you said, but I need more proof. I need more proof than standing and talking with the angel of God and having the meal burn up in front of me and vanished away and all those things. I need more proof. Even if you had an angel appear to you. Anyway, so again, he says, yeah, I've seen all that. I've experienced all that. Lord, just one more time, you're just going to put this fleece out there, and if you can make the fleece wet from the dew, make everything else dry, then I'll believe that you said what you said, what I know you already said. I'm going to take this fleece of wool and put it on the floor. And you see, he did just that. So God, you make this wet and give it dry. I'll know what you want me to do. That sounds pretty specific, doesn't it? But you know what? It really leaves a lot of room for doubt. What if you are struggling with something? You want a God to prove it to you. That's personally here. You want a God to prove it to you. You say, Lord, if you want me to do something, you want to go to the mission field. Lord, you make it rain in the backyard, make it dry in the front yard. And then it happened. It rained in the backyard, not the front yard. Then you begin to doubt. You say, well, if you really have the spirit of disbelief, you say, well, it's done that before, and maybe it's just the wind, or maybe it's just the trees blocking the rain. It really didn't happen that way. What's the problem? Putting faith in the sign. If you don't believe the word of God, how many signs is it going to take to change your mind? It'd probably take me more than it took Gideon. If you already have a spirit of disbelief, what's it going to take to change your mind? You say, well, I don't know. That's a very specific sign he's asking for. And God got, of course, he'd believe it. Very specific sign. Is it? Turn to Genesis 27, verse 28. We turn to several passages here tonight. Hold your place here in Judges. And keep you busy and keep you awake. Judges chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27, verse number 28. Therefore, God, give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Verse 39. And Isaac, his father, answered him, behold, thy dwelling shall be of fatness of the earth and of dew of the heaven from above. Numbers chapter 11. Go ahead and turn. Numbers chapter 11. A couple books over. Numbers chapter 11. Verse number 9. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Blessing of God fell upon the dew in the night. Psalms 133:3 says, you can hold your place there. as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descend upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commands a blessing, even life forevermore. Dew is a blessing. Micah 5:7. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord, as it showers upon the grass that tarries not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of man. So the presence of dew in the Bible is a picture of the blessings of God. Can we agree on that? Haggai 1:9 says, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, it did blow upon it. Why, saith Lord of hosts? Because mine house that is waste, ye run every man to his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. The absence of dew speaks of the judgment of God. 1 Kings 17:1, very well-known verse. And Elisha the Tishbite, who was in the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So the presence of dew is a picture of the blessings of God in the Scriptures. We read several. There's a bunch of verses, more verses you can read. You already turned several of them tonight. But the absence of dew is a picture of the judgment of God. Presence of dew, blessing God. Absence of dew, judgment of God. Gideon asked God for specific things. Specific sign. He steps outside the next morning. In verse 38, what does he see? He sees a picture of the blessing of God, and he sees a picture of the judgment of God. About as clear as mud, isn't it? What does Gideon do? Verse 38, and it was so, for he rose up early in the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Gideon gives up. He steps aside. God did exactly what Gideon asked him. Gideon's still having some doubts. Well, maybe this is just a condensation of the fleece. And this grammar usually doesn't get that wet anyway. Maybe it's just a mistake. You know what? I need one more proof. Just go for 2 out of 3, Lord. Just do it one more time. We see the second test. Verse 39. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me. I wonder why he said that. He knew he was wrong. And I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece and upon all the ground. Let there be dew. Now, wait a minute. I will speak but this once. He's already spoken twice for this. This is his third time. But this once with the fleece. He's already done it once before. He's, Lord, just one more time. If you play this sign game with God, you're never going to be satisfied. He's never going to solve your problem. You're never going to be satisfied with the answer. You never have enough proof. If you need God to show you a sign every time he wants you to do something, you will never be convinced. So what's it going to take? It's going to take some faith. Take believing what God has said in his word, believing the word of God. Just tell me what the book says. Just believe what the word of God has already said. It is infallible. It is profitable. You can trust it. It is perfect. You can believe every word of it. I read just one first paragraph of an article the other day, and the guy started out trying to correct the Bible, talking about all the mistakes in the Bible and how these things said this, and he's trying to make a point. He's completely off track doctrinally, and no wonder, because he wouldn't believe what the Bible says. You want to help your doctrine? Just believe the word of God. Believe what the Bible says. You want to help your faith? Just believe what the Bible says. Believe the word of God. If God said it, I believe it. It ought to be that simple. God said, Gideon, you're going to lead the nation of Israel to victory because I said so. You're going to conquer them as one man. You're going to conquer the entire army. This huge army they have as one man, just like as one man. He says, Lord, I don't know. Just believe what God says. We try to argue. Well, maybe he really meant this over here. And maybe that 10% tithe is only for the Jews, not for the Gentiles. Maybe he didn't really mean it for me. Just believe what the Bible says. Hear a little there, a little compare the Bible to the Bible, and you'll be a whole lot better off. You can trust it. You know what Gideon needed? You need to believe the word of God. Gideon's already come to God. And he says, Lord, I know what you said. I know what you said. I know you said I'm the man. I know you said you'd deliver us. Just prove it to me one more time. And God did. And he said, just prove it to me one more time. And God did. And gave him a sign. We'll see you later on. He does it again. And Gideon goes and he says, okay, God, I know what you said. And I know what you proved to me already. Just do it one more time. Lord, I'm going to give you one more chance to contradict what you've already told me in your word. I'm going to give you one more chance to change your mind. And then I'll really be confused. Is that not what's going on here? If God follows through with this sign, nothing more has been added to what the Lord's already told Gideon. Yeah. Gideon didn't believe the other sign. Why would this change anything? If God does not follow through with it and God actually changes it, Gideon is only going to be confused. That's all he's going to do is confuse him. God's going to be contradictory to himself. Gideon would save himself a lot of trouble. If you would save yourself a lot of trouble and just follow the word of God. Well, I don't know if this really applies to me. I just need a sign. No. What you really want is for God to contradict himself in his word and do what you want them to do. Something we have to get on our kids about, and I think all families probably deal with the same thing. They'll come to me and they'll ask me something. I'll give them an answer. And they don't like my answers. They go to mom and ask Natalie for the same answer. Why? Did they not believe me? No, they didn't like my answer. Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to do this or not. I don't know if I'm supposed to drink or not. Proverbs 20, verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever sees thereby is not wise. Well, I'm not getting drunk preaching. I don't want to be a fool, but maybe the scriptures say thou shalt not drink. I mean, it really is not plainly spelled out. I need a sign. Just do what the Bible says. Thou shalt not, doesn't say that. No, it doesn't say that. Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. You're deceived by it. You're a fool. Stay away from it. Pretty simple. Well, I don't know if I should act this way and do this. I don't know how I should act with my girlfriend before we get married. 1 Corinthians 7:1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Well, that doesn't, I don't know if that applies to me or not because I'm older and we're both adults and we're different. Just trust what the Bible says. Just follow the Word of God. Gideon didn't want to be a leader, so he's trying his best to get God to change his mind. What does he say? Let not thine anger be hot against me. Why does he say that? Because he knows what God has told him to do. He knows what he's supposed to do. He doesn't want to do it. Just follow the Word of God. The more signs you put out, the more fleeces you put out, the more confusing it's going to get. Just believe the Word of God. You might say, that's what Gideon needed. And now he can go and he can fight the battle. That's the faith he needed. Now he's going to fight the battle, and now he's going to go on for the Lord. I'm not so sure it worked out so well. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here. Chapter number 7. We'll come back to a little bit of those, the first verse. We're going to skip it. We'll come back to those later on. But in the beginning of chapter 7, the armies, they gather together. Israel's army is whittled down. The Lord whittles the army down. They've gotten rid of who they need to get rid of. They've got their battle plan. Gideon's had the angel of the Lord. He had the fleece. He had the second fleece. And now it's battle time. Judges chapter 7, verse number 9. And it came to pass the same night, the Lord said to him, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Pura, thy servant, down to the host. There's another baby name. Those are expecting babies. Pura. Pura Balcom. That's a pretty good one. I don't know. The P is silent. Okay, Hura. It's a Marine. There you go. And verse 11, thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shalt thine hands be strengthened to go down to the host. Then he went down with Pura, his servant, to the house of the armed men that were in the host. What is that? And afterward shalt thy hands be strengthened to go down to the host. The Lord said, Gideon, you go down to the host of Gideon, go to the host of Midian, you listen in, you're going to hear something, it's going to strengthen you to go on with the battle. It's going to encourage you to go on with the battle. It's going to encourage you to go on and do what I've already told you to do. Verse number 12. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay long in the valley, like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled in the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, and the tent lay along. So Gideon goes down, he sneaks up to this tent, he hears the enemy telling this dream to another man. He says, I dreamed this dream. He says, I saw this cake of barley bread come rolling down to our camp and came to the tent and hit the side of the tent. And the entire tent flipped over and lay down flat. He says, it smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. Piece of bread hit the tent. Tent fell down flat and flipped over and stretched out. That's what it says. Notice the next verse, verse 14. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For in his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. What kind of dream interpreter is that? A piece of bread comes rolling into the camp and knocks the tent down, flips it over and spreads it out. And the man says, that's Gideon. That doesn't make any sense. What is this? I believe this is simply God humoring and helping, encouraging the faith of a man that's struggling to believe what God has said. What is the point of all this? God told Gideon to get up and go down and listen in the camp. And then he had this dream, this crazy interpretation. Why? Because Gideon was struggling with his faith. Gideon was afraid to go to the battle. Gideon was struggling to believe what God's going to do, what he says he's going to do. Why did God answer Gideon's request for these signs? Because God is a gracious God, and God is going to use Gideon. He wants to help Gideon. He wants to encourage Gideon. God did this for him. He allowed that to happen. There's no way you can argue that. God answered the signs. There's no way you can dispute that. If Gideon would simply believe what God had said, none of this would have been necessary. But you know what God did? God made the fleece wet. And God kept the ground dry. And God did the opposite. Now right before the battle, God sends Gideon there. He's still not 100% sure on this thing of this battle. And God says, Gideon, you go down there in the camp. You're going to hear something that's going to encourage you to go do what I told you to do. Why? Because God is a gracious and a long-suffering God. I'll be the first to admit my faith has a lot of room to grow. I believe God. I believe that God's going to do what He said He's going to do. I believe as long as I'm doing His will, that whatever trouble, trial may come, He'll bring me through. He'll take care of it and bring us through that. I believe that. But when that trial comes, and you know what my flesh does personally, what am I going to do now? Like, get in. Lord, I'm going to die. I saw the angel. What am I going to do? What am I going to do now? Wait a second, God. Are you sure you know what you're doing with this thing? Are you sure? Is what you said really true? I'm thankful that God is willing to be gracious and to be patient with men like Gideon. Even more than that, I'm thankful He's willing to be patient with lesser men like me. There have been times in my life when I didn't have the faith all to have. There have been things I've been through where God has stretched my faith and proven things to me. I told you a little bit this morning about the job and different things there. There have been many times when God has confirmed things to me. If you want to say that, shown me things, proved things to me that really He didn't have to do. The Bible says what I need to believe. If I just believe the Word of God, I wouldn't have to go through those things. If I just believe what the Bible says and trust it, I would know everything would be okay. But God's a gracious God. Many times He comes alongside you, encourages you, and strengthens you, and keeps you going on. And sends somebody like Gideon there, sends a man to tell him a dream, and encourage him to go on and fight the battle anyway. Did he need that? No. God already told him the truth. God wanted to help him. God wanted to encourage him. There are things now that I have learned, and what the Word of God says, I'm just supposed to believe it. You say, what's your point, preacher? What's the point in all this? The point is we need to work on our faith. Build our faith. Learn to put some faith in what the Word of God says. God may show some mercy, and God may show you a sign. He did it for Gideon. Who am I to know what happened to Gideon? The Bible says God did it. But did Gideon need that? No. He already had the Word of God on it. He had all the proof he needed. Nothing changed. The only thing the police did was underline what God had already told him to do. He said, I don't know, preacher. I don't know if I should really do this or do that. I need God to show me what to do here. And I'll give you some advice. Just read the Word of God and keep reading the Word of God and keep looking and keep praying and keep looking. God will show you what to do. If you put out a fleece, will God answer it? Maybe. You just forget in. Do you need it? Definitely not. Is it going to solve all your problems? Is it going to answer all your questions? Definitely not. Didn't confirm it. Gideon kept asking more and more and more. Let's go for one. Let's go for two. That's two out of three. Gideon, after the angel, after two fleeces, he's still unsure down there in the battlefield. You can trust the Lord. You can trust His Word. There's nothing added to God's command to Gideon through these signs and these dreams more than what was already there, more than what Gideon already knew. Nothing else was added whatsoever. God is just helping His servant. Verse 15, chapter 7, verse 15. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped. Returned to the host of Israel, said, Arise, for I have delivered into your hand the host of Midian. It sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? Chapter 6, verse 14. The Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of Midianites. Have none I sent thee. Gideon didn't need the dream. Nothing new was ever added. He came back saying the same thing God told him in the last chapter a long time ago. Do I need a sign? Nope. Just need more faith. I know what some of you are thinking. What about things that aren't plainly spelled out in the Bible? Should I buy this brand new truck? Lord, if you let this truck be sitting on the lot, the car dealer, when I get there, I'll know you want me to have it. Just make it a sign, and when I get there, just make it be there. And you go down there and they have this nice, shiny new F-550 service truck, and that's my dream, not y'all's. Anyway, you say, okay, it must be the Lord's will because it's here at the car. It must be a sign the Lord wants me to buy it. And you go on and sign your life away and at 20% interest rate for the next 10, 20 years, whatever it is. Next month, you have a wreck and total the truck, and you didn't buy the gap insurance, and now you're in trouble. You go and say, oh, no, I should have put out another fleece. No, you based your decision off what you wanted, not off the Word of God. And the Bible says clearly, the borrower is servant to the lender. What happened? I put my faith in a sign, not in the Word of God. If something's plainly spelled out in the Scripture, if something's not plainly spelled out in the Scripture, it's never going to be plainly spelled out on this side of eternity. There are not additional revelations, no matter what somebody may tell you. There are no new words from God. We have the complete Word of God. Nothing new is going to be added. God may show you some things there in scriptures. It's always new, and every time we read it, it's new. He may show you some things, but no new words are going to be added to the Word of God. He gave us the Bible. That's it. We can argue till we're blue in the face about it, but if the Bible does not say it, we'll never have it plainly spelled out to us. No need in putting out a fleece. You put your faith in a sign. You put your faith in some dream or some vision or what so-and-so has said. When trouble comes, you're going to start to doubt that sign. You're going to start to doubt that dream or start to doubt that vision. If you marry somebody because you told the Lord, "Lord, I'll marry the next woman who walks through the door." That was bad timing, Brian. Anyway. And Brian walks in the door. Was God wrong? That was my son, not God. Thank the Lord. What happened? You believed some crazy sign. You didn't believe the Word of God. You didn't believe God's leading. You can ask for signs until you're blue in the face. But if you will put your faith in that sign, you're never going to be settled. You're always going to be questioning it. Well, what if maybe I just misunderstood it? Well, maybe that fleece wasn't really that wet. Maybe I misunderstood it. If I based my coming to Alaska on a sign, coming here on a sign, I would have had doubts. And I probably would have been gone by now. You base it on the truth, the matter of the Word of God. And God said, "God, go ye therefore." And God said, "Give me peace about it," and led me here. And He says, "Be faithful in the day of adversity." Then I can rest assured that even when the problems come, I'm still supposed to be faithful. You can stand firm on the Word of God. If you'll base your decisions, you base your principles on the Word of God when troubles come. And when trials come, you can stand firm on that Word of God. You base your faith on a sign. When troubles come, you're going to do nothing but doubt, nothing but worry, and you end up in a mess. Base your decisions, base your stand you take on the Bible, and you'll never go wrong doing that. Will God answer your request for a sign? Maybe. He answered Gideon's. But did that set all Gideon's doubts? Not even close. You can believe the Word of God. You can trust the Word of God. You can build a family on the Word of God. You can build a home. You can build a church on the Word of God. Try to base it off a sign, sooner or later you're going to doubt it. You're going to be in trouble. Do you need a sign? No. It's not going to do anything. The Lord may answer it. The Lord may not. And you may end up marrying Brian because he walks through the door. Careful what you ask for. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for loving us and taking care of us, Lord. Thank you for blessings. Lord, thank you for the teaching from your Word. Lord, thank you for allowing us, giving us something to believe in. Lord, thank you for the Word of God and the privilege we have to hold that in our hands. I pray you take it and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name.